of our frailties. You didn't take account of our slip-ups. You didn't take account of our failures. You took account of your love, your eternal love, your limitless love. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are our helper. Like never before, we need your help now, that we may present ourselves spotless because of the work of grace. Even as you helped our Lord and our Savior Jesus, help us now too. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we ask it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for everyone. It's good to see everyone here. If you have not seen for the longest time, well, praise God for everyone. We serve an awesome God, a gracious God. We've been going through the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter. And when we come to the 20th verse, I know we've gone past here. We're admonished to pray. The Lord says, pray. If he says pray, it means that we need to pray, and that if we don't pray, whatever it is that he's going to state is going to happen. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, that your flight. That means that there is going to be some running away because of danger. You know, the thing about God is this. That he sovereignly can shield us from the activities of the enemy. But sometimes he elects to let us use our noodles, meaning our brains. But even then, there is a spiritual aspect to it. Because if you're going to be running away, if you're going to take flight, then you're taking flight for a reason. You're not just fleeing, trying to escape for no reason. He says, pray that your flight be not in winter. Now, in a very physical sense, it means winter. Pray that you don't flee in winter. But more than the physical temperature of winter, it is the time when things are freezing cold, frozen, slippery, when a time when the word is not being preached and people are cold in their relationship. Says pray that he doesn't, that trouble doesn't hit you when things are cold. In other words, he's saying, pray that things be hot. Pray that the word be charged in your lives. Don't pray, you know, don't let this rough time come when you are busy feeding babies. That's the previous verse. You don't want this time to be a time when people are, sucking on milk. You want it to be the time when people are chewing meat. They are solid. That nothing is able to shake them. Nothing is able to stop them. Then it says, neither on the Sabbath day. Now that is the one that throws everything amok. What does it mean, not on the Sabbath day? Well, in very real terms, the Sabbath, they had the Sabbath journey. And that's the time or space where you can go a certain amount of distance and no more. And the idea, sure, it's about rest, but it is about rest in a legalistic sense. It's about faith without works. You believe, but there's no action to your believing. Now that's just as dangerous as anything else. We're resting in God, but we forget that resting in God does not eradicate works. The Lord Jesus came and says to us, he says, man was not made for the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for the man. And today's Sabbath, my Father works, and I work also. So what is the rest? The rest is relaxing in the fact that God is well able. But a misunderstanding of that will mean that the crisis of the day comes and you are overtaken because there's no faith and works together. It says, so in a sense, he's saying, remember winter? Winter is when the word of God is not being preached and not understood. Neither on the Sabbath day is not understanding also what the Sabbath, the rest of God is. Balance, understanding the goodness of God. Now it goes on. In verse 21, it says, for then shall be great tribulation. It's going to be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. So there's a tribulation that's going to come that's going to top every tribulation there's ever been, and there will be no tribulation as tough as this particular tribulation. It is the mother of all tribulations. Tribulations meaning serious problems, trouble. He says, and except those days of tribulation be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. There should no flesh be saved. This is a tribulation that is going to be so big that no flesh will be saved. Now, if that's the case, this tribulation is not a man-made tribulation. Because man is not going to create that kind of tribulation that he's not going to be saved from. Are you with me? So, there's a tribulation that God says For his elect's sake, those days shall be shortened, because there is a rampage in the earth. Now, God doesn't say that he is the generator of the tribulation. He doesn't say that. Neither does he say this is man-initiated. Well, at least we can see from the verse that it's not, in some sense. But God comes in and he shortens the days, because it's a wipeout. Everything is being knocked off. He says it's shortened. Now, this is where our theologians get really interesting, because they now say, the elect is Israel. We are gone. We've gone. The elect is Israel. On the basis of what? On the basis of what have we come to the conclusion that the elect is Israel and nothing else but Israel? That's not to say that Israel is not the elect of God. Israel is. But so also is the church. And to say that the elect here means Israel because the church is gone is just total nonsense. In fact, the word elect, as it relates to the church, is used so many times, I believe more times than it is used relating to Israel. Israel is the elect of God. But so also is the church. Amen? Let's just explore for a moment that particular word, the elect. Let's look at some of the times that's used in the New Testament. I won't go into the Old Testament, just the New Testament. Romans 8 and verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. And nobody is going to go to that verse in Romans 8 and say, that verse is about Israel. Everybody, I don't care whether you're Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, Pentecostal, charismatic, whatever you are, you're going to conclude that in Romans 8 is about the church, about born-again people. Hallelujah. All right. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God. It's talking about us. Holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And the passage is about believers, forbearing one another and forgiving one another if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. The elect is the born again church. Amen. Let's look at Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 21. Paul is writing to Timothy. He says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one another, doing nothing by partiality. Interesting enough, the word elect is referencing angels. But here it's not talking about angels. It's talking about a different kind of angels, messengers of God. And look at who the angels are. Right here. You didn't know that God addresses you as angels. Why is it addressing us in those terms? Because God is calling us to a place in Him that addresses us in supernatural terms. The elect of God is a supernatural body. Amen? Titus chapter 1 and verse 1. We're just looking at the word elect so far. Paul is servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect. According to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Again, it's talking about the church, the born-again body of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, talks about us as the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. Through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And then grace unto you and peace be multiplied. I want you to see that statement, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's something that we have not been very conversant of. The role of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God indeed is our helper. And if God is saying, pray, and the other time that He really says to us, pray that something happens, is when He says, pray the Lord of the harvest. And that Lord of the harvest is the Holy Spirit. When God says, you pray something, He's saying, you don't want it to happen at this particular time. Now, our helper is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the helper of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself too. Did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ will not have been able to present a spotless sacrifice without the Holy Spirit? And you and I want to live a victorious life without the Holy Spirit. You absolutely need the Holy Spirit, and that's why we must never grieve the Holy Spirit. We must not quench the Holy Spirit. We must not resist the Holy Spirit. Because you and I need the Holy Spirit. And if there's a time that we need the Holy Spirit, it is now. And that's why I believe that we are the ones that are going to operate in the move of God, the fulfillment of that promise of God about the baptism, because there is going to be a tribulation like the kind that we have never experienced before, and it's going to take the baptism of the Holy Spirit for us to be able to survive it. And if we're going to do so, we've got to be led by the Spirit of God. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? That's how you have the power to become a son of God. But when you are led by the Spirit of God, you are the son of God. And the world, the earth, is waiting for the manifestation of those sons. And if that manifestation is going to take place, it's going to take place because there's going to be a mightier move of the Holy Spirit. He said, it is necessary for me to go so that you get the Holy Spirit. I say, Holy Spirit, come. I must be baptized. I cannot wait. I don't want to be filled. I want to be baptized. Because the problems in the world are going to need you being baptized. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:6, we're talking about the elect. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. That elect is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And as we look unto him, the chief cornerstone, we become transformed into that same image. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's go back to, actually, let me do this. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9. We'll come back to Matthew or in a moment. Hebrews 9. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 9 and verse 14. The word of God says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, that's our Lord Jesus Christ, his blood, who through, who what? Through the eternal spirit. He through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God. The way the Lord Jesus Christ was able to live that spotless life. And he is coming for a church without spots, without wrinkles. The way he did it was through the eternal spirit. That's what made him be that precious Lamb of God that was able to take away our sins, purge our conscience from dead works. It is the Spirit of God who causes us, in fact, let me put it this way. The Spirit of God is a true manifestation of the grace of God in your life and in my life. He is our helper. And grace is the ability to do what you cannot do in your own self. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Guess who is the baptizer? The Bible tells us, it's John the Baptist says, he says, I'm baptizing you with water. But there's coming one who's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus is the baptizer, and that's why he grace, the Spirit of God, came through him. You cannot live a victorious life without the Holy Spirit. Forget it. And as the passage we read earlier talks about the obedience, the way that the Lord was able to obey was through the presence and the wooing and the directing of the Holy Spirit. You and I need the Spirit of God. You cannot obey God without the Spirit. And you cannot truly be the elect of God, because the elect are sealed by that Spirit. Praise God. Our Lord Jesus Christ was able to present himself spotless. and offer himself without spot to God. And by so doing, is able to purge our conscience from dead works. From dead works. Dead works are works that you try to do in your own ability. It's not going to go anywhere. But serving God is possible by this Spirit. Praise the Lord. Now let's go back to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, I guess we're in verse 22. He says, for the elect's sake, for those that are elect, the elect of God, those days will be shortened. 23, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, the anointed one, or there, believe it not. And we talked about that the other day, because the Spirit of God is going to be in everyone. That the Word of God says, then you're not going to need any man to teach you. Amen? Now we need people teaching us and expounding the Word of God. But there comes a time, especially the time of the tribulation, where people are all over the place. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to bring to remembrance the things that you know, so you can speak what God wants you to speak. And watch this. The Lord Jesus Christ just finished ministering the word, opening the scriptures. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me. And he's been challenged. And what happens? They take him off to the side of this cliff, and they want to push him over the cliff, and he turns around and walks away. That's the move of the Spirit. That's the realm. And there are many times in the scriptures, when you go through, for example, going through the Gospel of John, you see it different times. They wanted to do this, and he hid himself. The Bible says he hid himself from them. He hid himself. It's not that he ran somewhere and started hiding. No, he hid himself because all of a sudden, now you see me, now you don't. That is another realm. Now you see me, now you don't. That's a realm that we will have to operate in. In that realm, oh, it's over there. The anointing's over there. And it says, no, no. When during this time of that tribulation, no, don't even go there. Because I'm going to be in you and with you and by you and through you. Amen? So as we're going through this economy of God, God is bringing us to the place where we become bound to him, one with him, not dependent on this person or that person, for we shall all know him. Praise God. Hallelujah. When you understand that you are in him, then this grace abounds. It says there's going to arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, if it were what? Possible. If it were possible. If it were possible means that it is not possible. Praise God. They shall deceive the very elect. But it's not possible. Why? Because by the Spirit of God we become discerning. Discerning people are not people who are running after signs, wonders, and miracles. They are not defined by that. Signs point in a particular direction. I know where my house is. I don't need signs to get to my house. Hello? I don't need signs. I know where my house is. I don't need a miracle for me to believe God when I know God. Praise God. When you don't know God and you don't have a relationship with God, then you're looking for signs, wonders, and miracles. No, no, that is not the realm that we operate in. The realm that we operate in is the realm where the miraculous becomes normal to us. What is miraculous is... So, what's up? okay. No, because we are supernatural beings. When you are not operating in the realm of the glory, then you are going to have false Christ because you don't know who you are. But when you are baptized, you are not pursuing wonders, signs, and miracles and any of that, because you are for a sign and a wonder. You are the sign and the wonder already. What are you looking for? You're not looking for it. That's not impressing me. Hallelujah. That does not impress me. That's nothing. Oh, look at me. I got it. See my rod? It's a snake. So? My rod is going to Pac-Man yours right now. And gloop, 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 gloop. This is not it. The signs and wonders were for the unbeliever, the one who didn't know. It's not for us. We know, and we do the exploits. Praise God. 25 says, behold, I have told you before. I have told you before about these things. There's going to be all of this mess going on. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Don't go. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. If you are an elect, the very elect, you're not going to believe that. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Point. When I come, everybody is going to see it. Nobody is going to have to tell you that I'm in such and such a place. You yourself will know. Amen? For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Then watch this. Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, that's the tribulation, the mother of all tribulations. It says immediately, so there's a time period where this tribulation takes place, and it says it's going to be cut short for the elect's sake. It says immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now, if you notice, we don't know what, there's no real qualification about what this tribulation is and on whose purview or perspective is that tribulation defined. Matthew may be looking at this particular tribulation and saying, it's COVID-19. It's the Spanish flu. It's the Second World War. It's the Third World War, or whatever. Nobody knows what that tribulation is, but we know that it's going to end. Then there's going to be this whole perspective. The sun is darkened. Could be an eclipse. The moon shall not give her light. Meaning that times and seasons change. You know, the almanac does not work. Because when it's supposed to be half moon or quarter moon or full moon, we don't have it. It could be that something's happened and the atmosphere is completely darkened. Some strange thing happened. A meteorite hit the planet, boom. And there's all this dust in the sky and everything is dark. I don't know. The Lord didn't tell us. But it does make sense that something has hit the planet because the axis is shifted. And when the axis shifts, it will look like the stars are falling from heaven. If there's a shift to this planet, boom, the stars are going to be falling. They are still where they are, but it's going to look like it's falling. You understand? And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Something catastrophic has happened. The world is ending. The world is not ending yet. Don't sweat it. Because it says after there's going to be a big tribulation, and after that tribulation, boom, it hits the fan. 31. Next verse. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a what? Trumpet. And they shall do what? Gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Oh, there's a trumpet and there's a gathering. I wonder why they don't say this is about the rapture. Yeah, let's go on. He just told us something is going to happen that is catastrophic, and then there's going to be a gathering from the four winds. He told Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37, prophesy to the four winds. And the army of God, Israel, was raised up. That which was dead was raised up. And the dead in Christ shall rise. I think the Lord is saying something. He doesn't spell it out completely to us, but there's something happening right there in that verse. And it's after the tribulation. Now, you know, you've heard me say this before. If you want to be pre-trib, you can go through the Bible and you can find verses that will support your pre-trib perspective. If you're mid-trib, you can find scriptures and say, well, you know, based on this pattern and this pattern, I think it's going to happen here. Well, if you post-trib, well, you can find some scriptures too. After the tribulation of those days, this happens. And the idea is God is not about to give the devil any room to determine when it's going to happen. That's exactly why he says he's going to shorten the days so that there's no devil that's going to determine and say, well, on such and such a day was the beginning of the first day, and the Antichrist showed up at such and such a time. And so if we count so many years, we know exactly when he's going to come. We're going to determine that he's going to come on the Feast of Trumpets. But when the word, the prophetic word, the covenant of God was given, Pentecost, there was the blasting of the trumpet, and it was the voice of God blowing the trumpet. So is he coming at Pentecost, or is he coming at the Feast of Trumpets? God is not going to give the devil any room to determine when he's coming. And you don't know, I don't know, and all he says is be ready. For you know not when. You must live your life gloriously now. Don't procrastinate with the things of God and say, well, you know, I think we got some time. You don't know that. You only know this moment. And let God have full charge of this moment. Amen? Let me see, how many verses do we have left? Let me see if I can wrap it up. If not, we'll take it up from where we are. Matthew 24. And we're at 31. See, I have quite a bit to go. Okay, so we're going to stop there tonight. But let's bear this in mind. God is saying to us, you need to be ready. He says to us, he says, the love of many shall wax cold. I am not going to be a participant to the fulfillment of that word. My love will not wax cold. Why? I got the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen? He will not let me wax cold. Society is not going to cause me to wax cold. I am not going to be a thermometer. I'm going to be a thermostat. I'm going to regulate the temperature. Amen? You give the power of the temperature of your spiritual walk over to somebody else? You're already defeated. There's a song, I love that song so much. The lyrics are amazing. I'm not going to let somebody else worship for me. Wow. You, Lord, you are worthy, and no one can worship you for me. I'm going to worship God myself because God is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. In what? Spirit and in what? Truth. Grace and truth came through whom? Jesus. Ah. In grace and in truth. And remember what we said earlier on. Grace is a manifestation of God's Spirit in your life. And when God comes for you and I, He is going to call for His Spirit. It is the Spirit of God, just like Jesus rose again from the dead and ascended and went back to the Father to give report. So also is God going to call for His Spirit. Come. And when His Spirit comes up, you going up, because you and the Spirit are one. In the flesh, no man can please God. It is through the Spirit. Just like Jesus glorified the Father, just like Jesus, our Lord, honored the Father by His lifestyle and brought back a report, so also is the Holy Spirit preparing the body of Christ for a good report, without spot, blemish, or wrinkles. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the glorious Holy Spirit. We cannot do this without the Spirit. Jesus, our Lord, could not do it without the Spirit. He had the Spirit without measure. We need the Spirit of God without measure. Oh, God moved. I goosebump. Oh, my hair stood up like Don King. That's not it. There's more to this. We cannot play church. This is not a game. This has eternal consequences. And I must have the Holy Spirit. I must have the Holy Spirit. I don't want to just be filled with Holy Spirit. He said, "You shall be baptized." Acts chapter 2, they were not baptized. They were filled. Many days hence, we are part of the many days hence. We are at least 2 days. I got to have the Holy Spirit. And the world cannot receive the Spirit because it seeth Him not. So the prayer we're going to pray tonight as we wrap is this: God, open my eyes to see the Holy Spirit. Because, watch this, how are you going to be led by the Spirit if you don't see the one that is leading you? You can't be blind. I can't be blind. I got to see. Amen? Rise with me. Heavenly Father, we cannot live in a status quo setting anymore. No. We know there's more to you than what we are experiencing. Lord, oh God, we take a hold of you by faith and we say, God, you are not a mean God. You're not a wicked God. You're not an absentee God. If our fathers will not give us evil when we ask for good, if our fathers will not give us stone for bread, serpents for fish, scorpions for eggs, you said, how much more will you give to us your Holy Spirit when we ask? Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you for every aspect of our lives. We need you to help us maneuver through the systems of this world. We need you to be the one that so surrounds us with the force field of God's glory, that this impenetrable wall, this fortress of grace, so keeps us that we falter not. Spirit of the living God, baptize us. Lord Jesus, baptize us as you promise, with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And your word says, oh God, that we shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon us. And we'll be witnesses unto you in our Jerusalem, in our Judeas, in our Samaria, not to the uttermost parts of the earth. Lord God Almighty, there is a harvest that must be presented to you. There is a grace that is sufficient. And Lord, oh God, we ask that the Lord of the harvest send forth laborers. For we believe, oh God, that this harvest field is ripe and ready. We do not say it's any longer in the future. Lord, oh God, men and women must come to salvation now. They must be ready. They must be snatched away from the activities of the evil one. For these are your people that you've created in your image and the likeness of yourself. They are not garbage. They are not junk that belong to a hell, to a Gehenna, to a Sheol, to a lake of fire. They belong in the kingdom of God. And Lord, oh God, without the drawing and the wooing of the Spirit, they cannot be saved. And Lord, oh God, we ask, oh God, that you will fill us now like never before, that you will infuse us with your very essence. So Lord, oh God, that in our going out and in our coming in, Lord, oh God, that we, oh God, become like magnets that draw people to you, the living God. Oh Father, do an extraordinary work of grace. For it is the Spirit that quickened the Lord Jesus and caused him to be raised from the dead. Lord, oh God, let the quickening Spirit now move in our lives. Quicken us, Father. Our world seems so messed up, in a chaotic state. It's like the very beginnings when the Word says, and the earth was in a state of chaos, void, without form, without shape. As the society that we live in now, we say, Holy Spirit, brood upon your church, these ones that are the incorruptible manifestation of the Word of God, so that we may truly stand as your prophetic agents. and say once again, let there be light. Let there be light. Let there be light. May your people shine brightly, and may darkness be expelled. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so now done. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God.